I mean, I will just keep punishing us with garbage until morale improves and or somebody else gets us a drink.
Greetings, Apropossy. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. Oh, buddy.
On that note, what are we drinking?
Jack Daniel's Down Home Punch. Why? Contains alcohol, 4.8% alcohol by volume. Fresh taste, serve cold. It does not tell you what Down Home Punch tastes like.
It tastes like Down Home Punch, James.
According to the label, it says responsibility. Oh, .org. Oh, okay.
Have you been pre-gaming?
Post-gaming.
Yeah, this definitely smells like, it smells like a wine cooler.
Yes.
It just does.
Yeah.
It just smells like a wine cooler.
Yeah. I miss wine coolers.
The words contains alcohol also is a very wine cooler-y.
All right. Well.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bottoms up, bitches.
Is that pineapple?
I don't think so.
Huh.
If it is, it's fake pineapple because my mouth's not reacting to it.
It tastes like grape and
grapefruit. It tastes grapefruity.
Grapefruity, really? I'm getting like a citrus. Yeah. It might be the citrus I'm getting. Mm. This feels tastes more tropical.
Tastes like it was mixed in a trash can,
like guava,
like a one of the like Wabatui punches.
Guava.
I don't.
Okay.
It just says natural flavors, but that could be
strychnine is natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is ball sweat. Yeah.
Oh God! Why, James? Why did you say that? Well,
there is kind of a salt.
I don't know, my ball sweat's not natural.
My ball sweat is not natural, all right?
Huh.
It's unnatural. It's downright unnatural.
Yeah.
God.
Going to the doctor. Doctor's like, we're going to need the lead gloves for this one, nurse. Yeah.
Hey, Salsa.
Yeah?
What have you been up to?
I went to the Spam Museum.
I just had a bunch of emails there for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I took my kids to the Spam Museum. We drove down to Austin on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it was...
Spam?
Fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's a tiny museum.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a whole lot of, like, exhibit...
Sure.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know that there's a lot in that process that you would want people to see and examine. But, really.
So, I mean, it was just like, didn't really know what...
How were the rides?
Yeah. but, like, my kids and I went in with an open mind and looking to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
And we did. And this is very, very easily a place that if you don't go in with that mindset...
Sure.
You will be miserable.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's not much to do there, and it's spam. So if you're not there to just enjoy the ridiculousness with a childlike sense of wonder, you might not get much out of it.
But yeah.
But we went there with, we're going to do a ridiculous thing, and it'll be awesome, and we had fun. There is a, like, there's an area where it shows a little, like, this is the way people around the world eat spam. Like, here's some, in Japan, they eat spam this way, you know, and in Philippines, they eat spam this way, and in Hawaii, they eat spam this way, and and they had, like, all recipes and things like that.
I love a spam musubi.
Yeah. And then another area, they were talking about, like, spam during the World War. You know, like, and, but there was one area where it was, you got to race the factory.
Okay.
So.
Like, did you in the factory do laps or?
No. So you had to pack 6 cans of spam. So they had cans.
Yeah.
Bean bags. Okay. Like a spam size beanbag.
This is so weirdly cute.
So you took
cute.
The can, you stuck the beanbag in the can, you put the lid on it, yeah. you stuck the whole thing in the oven, you hit the button,
yeah.
and the light, like, went off. Yeah. And then the light goes back on, like, from the cooking to the ready light.
Yeah.
And you take it out of the little oven thing, mm-hmm. you put a sleeve on it, on the can, the like, label, mm-hmm. which was just this, like, fabric sleeve.
Sure.
And you stuck it in this little tray.
I mean, beanbag sounds better than spam, so I'm in.
But you had to pack six of them. So you had to...
So it was a six-pack?
Fill, cap, cook, and label six mm-hmm. cans of Spam. And you hit a button at the beginning, then mm-hmm. you do your six cans, and mm-hmm. then when you finish your six cans, you hit the button on the other end. And it tells you how long it took you, and in that same amount of time, how many cans came out of the factory.
Fucking 500?
Well, on my first try...
Yeah.
I don't know how I did this, but 1 minute exactly.
Ooh.
No.
Just pure luck. 1 minute exactly. And it did 420 cans of Spam.
Yeah.
I was like.
Yeah.
But it was fun just sitting there kind of like trying to beat your own record and trying to race the,
sure.
the you know. My kids got like 129 and like 137 or something like that.
You know.
And it was fun, but
it's respectable.
So, exactly,
they're not built for child labor.
I'm
with a little practice,
not that labor. Right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this on the Ocho.
yeah, it was like I said, it was a silly thing, and the whole time above your heads is this constant, you know, train of cans of Spam just processing throughout the whole factory. And there was one corner that was just playing Monty Python Spam routine on a loop.
Oh, my God.
Spam, 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 yep. Spam and eggs.
It was when we first got there, and we're walking up to the building, and there was somebody standing outside with, like, a table, and they had cake, and we were like, what are this? And they were like, we're celebrating Spam's 60th birthday. And we were just like, would you like some cake? And it was like, yes, of course we would like some cake.
Or death.
Is it Spam cake?
No, it was cake.
It was cake. All right.
Well, yeah.
Important question.
I would be a little suspicious of cake at a Spam museum. I feel like clarification is valid.
Did they serve it to you in cans? Or?
No. Mm. We got little napkins. But I was really honestly, I was disappointed because periodically people that work at Spam museum will walk around with Spamples.
Oh god, that hurts me on so many levels.
I remember being a teenager, I got a bad case of Spamples.
Oh god.
And the whole time we were there, we didn't see any Spamples. We were really disappointed. My kids got a picture with Sir Canalot.
Aw.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, fuck.
And again...
This is the mascot that's stamped on all the cans, right? The little knight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you go in with Jenna's attitude, you would not have fun at this place. But if you went in with just... We're here to have ridiculous fun.
But I feel like going in with Jenna and Jenna having Jenna's attitude would be fun different way.
It was, and I mean, the whole thing, it was not a big... Like, no. You do the whole loop in 10 minutes.
Sure.
And we were there for at least an hour, because we were just having fun, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, there was a quiz on the inside. Jenna actually might like this one, but there was a quiz for what kind of Spam you are.
Okay.
I do like those kind of quizzes.
I want the answer to be, like, no.
I was teriyaki Spam.
That makes a weird kind of sense.
And so was my daughter, actually. My son was Ticino Spam. And then we went to the gift shop, and we got I got a t-shirt.
Excellent.
uh, and my kids got stuffies.
Also excellent. What are the stuffed toys of?
There's a pig with a spam scarf.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's actually...
It feels like naming your daughter Chastity a little bit.
The pig is actually really cute.
He
was really cute.
That's not okay, you guys.
But my daughter got a little spam musubi.
That's stuffy. Awesome.
It was cute. And the spam slice on the inside is a little pig.
Oh, no.
It's so cute. It's so messed up.
But it's really cute.
No.
I'm wondering if they sell cans of those spam bean bags.
Oh, that would be great.
Wouldn't that?
That would be great.
Like, for juggling?
They do sell different flavors of spam there.
Yeah.
So, like, they had the teriyaki and the tocino, mm-hmm. and they had the hot and spicy, and they had the like, limited edition cans of the Hawaiian spam.
Ooh. Is it pineapple?
No, it's just spam. Oh. It just has.
I was like, because then you could just take that and put it on a pizza, and then you have basically
perfection.
Yeah. No,
we were
going to say an atrocity, but well, no, I'm hungry all over again. Yeah,
but we got done with all of that. Okay, we go there. Uh-huh. We have fun.
That explains why you're here now.
We're at the museum for an hour or hour and a half, somewhere in there. Okay.
Good.
And we're like, okay, we're done. We've had our fun. Yeah. We're going to head home and finish, have the rest of our day just kind of be a lazy day.
Because Austin's like 2 hours south of the city,
not
right?
Not even. It's like an hour and a half.
Holy crap.
It not that far away. Huh. And, you know, it definitely, if it was any further... Then going to this museum would not be worth it.
It was a calculated risk. That
it
they
kind
made.
Of yeah. was, yeah. But yeah, it's just close enough that you can spend a little bit of time there and then we're done and it hasn't been a wasted day.
Yeah.
But genuinely, by the way, in case I haven't made it completely clear, I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. I really, really kind of did. Go hang out.
He's got that spam glow.
Yeah. But coming home, we're driving home.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, we leave the spam museum, and I'm like, we're in Austin. If we want to get lunch with spam in it, like every restaurant in town has spam in it. My kids are like, no, that's okay.
I knew your children were children of taste.
They were just like, no, we enjoy spam well enough.
We have seen the sausage made.
No, and... we're a little done at this point. So we're driving home. We're driving home. Okay, the kids are in the back.
I hope you're driving and they're not.
I'm driving.
The kids... the littlest was working the pedals.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
had to be wearing a trench coat while they were doing it. So these kids are in the back not paying attention to the world at all. They've got the Switch and their tablet and they're, you know, dead to the world.
Car sickness, yeah.
I'm driving home and I, roughly a half hour into the drive, just driving on the road, I suddenly see movement kind of on the corner of my eye on the side of the road. And I focus in on it.
Was it a wild spam?
No.
Oh. I was wondering that, actually. Yeah.
There was...
They're majestic in the wild.
It was an RC car flying through the air.
Oh.
What?
And I went... Okay, I gotta see what the fuck this is all about. Stop the car, pull in.
They were filming a 1980s commercial?
No. We pulled in to the Southern Minnesota RC Speedway, and it was race day.
Well, that is amazing.
It absolutely was.
This sounds like two great things.
It was.
But one of them was accidental.
So yeah, it was ridiculous. Like I said, I immediately pulled the car over and was just like, what is going on here? No, it was race day. They had this setup. I pull up, there's a big shed building with, you know, Southern Minnesota RC Raceway on the side, and just to the south of the building, this is on the southern edge of town, is an outdoor racetrack.
Yeah.
With jumps and everything like that. Okay. And they are racing these RC cars, like, and they're fucking style. Zipping. Hmm. And they're so they've got this whole setup where it's a two-story like frame, and okay. So the racers stand on the upper deck, mm-hmm. and the lower deck is like the pit.
Oh,
and so you put your car on the track, and then you go up yeah. top, so you can see down on the whole thing. And these people are racing these RC cars, and there's different heats, there's different mm-hmm. sizes, there's all this stuff. You know, there's an announcer in an announcing booth over on the side, mm-hmm. saying times and lap speeds and everything like that. Like, this is fucking serious shit.
Rad.
This isn't just a bunch of
this
people
is,
getting together.
This is professional this is RC real. Racing.
This mm-hmm. is fucking real, yeah. I was talking to the one dude, and he's like, yeah, we do, you know, we have, like, a circuit. And one of them is here, and one yes. of them is in, like, Duluth, oh, and wow. one of them is in, like, North Dakota.
So the chance of you catching this is now even smaller percentage.
We caught them on, they have race days every so often, but they, mm-hmm. they're there, like, every Wednesday practicing and stuff like that.
Sure.
But yeah, we happened to catch them on race day, and they were just doing the lap races. Mm-hmm. To for pole position,
yeah.
Okay.
And they're just fucking zipping around. And these cars are fucking fast. Mm-hmm. These are not your kids' RC cars. Mm-hmm. These the guy was saying the guy was talking to you, he's like, he's got 42 RC cars at home, and each one can run up to $2,500.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
To put these things together. Oh, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And these cars are zipping around here. There's like four or five cars per heat. And this, there was one guy, insane driver. He's drifting.
That's awesome.
Around these corners. Like, he's coming down the straight mm-hmm. right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And by the time he gets to the other end, he cranks that car over. The car is pointing in the other direction. Like, by the time he's done with his turn, mm-hmm. and the car then, like, is pointing the opposite direction and just drifts
around. Just launches.
Just drifts around the corner and launches back up the other direction. It was insane driving. And there's a bunch of people sprinkled out throughout the track, so if a car does land on its top,
yeah.
somebody runs out there and flips it over and stuff like that. But otherwise, these cars are just zipping around these tracks, and it was like, you know, they had motorcycles.
Oh, that's rad.
Little RC motorcycle races?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
So, neither did I.
I had an RC motorcycle as a kid.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't know that was a thing.
How does it go?
Well, this particular one uses a little rider to balance it, and then it's got these two, like, fat tires.
Okay.
And once they start rotating, it just stays up.
It was really the how do you start that. That yeah. I was, like, that doesn't...
Yeah, they've got, like... Nubs sticking out the side yeah. so that when it tips over, it doesn't completely go over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, otherwise, once it goes, just like a bicycle, it stays up. But yeah, it was
just the first part.
Exactly. Yeah. We were not sure how that worked either.
Yeah.
So we're watching the various different sizes go off, and we're like, oh, you know, we're there for a while, and we're like, okay, this was really fun. Mm-hmm. We'll probably take off now. Y'all are doing your thing. Yeah. And the guy was like, stick around.
Oh.
And we're like, oh, why? And he was like, these are the little guys. Wait till the 1/5 size comes out.
Oh.
Because we were watching the 1/10 size.
Sure.
And he's like, in about 20 minutes, the 1/5 are coming out.
And we're like halfway between a go-kart yes. and an RC car.
Yeah. Like, this car was as big as my son.
And the
other cars are running on little batteries.
Yeah.
These were motors.
Yeah, like gas-powered.
Yeah, these were gas-powered. I thought there was a guy starting a chainsaw back there. Turns out he was just revving his car up.
Oh, my God.
And then you got five of these fuckers
mm-hmm.
zipping around the track. We stuck around for that race. Holy shit!
Oh, my God.
There's five chainsaw motors zipping around this track, and these huge fucking cars, like I said, the size of my son, all zipping around. Mm-hmm. We had so much fucking fun. And there's a
now I want there to be a mini truckosaurus.
And there's a goddamn food truck.
Oh, that's awesome.
There. Mm. Like, what were they serving? This was a fucking serious thing that they were doing. And they're like, yeah, we get together and we do this all the time. And it was just like, amazing. I mean, what else are you going to do in redneck Minnesota? But also, still, this was amazing. And I was giggling like a fucking school child the whole time we were there. I was having so much goddamn fun. We stayed for an hour.
Hmm.
Just watching people race RC cars around this track. It was the best.
Nice.
That does sound fucking awesome. It was
so amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And what easily could have been just a quick trip down to Austin turned into a day.
Yeah.
With my kids. Adventure. And it was so fun. It was so much fun. I'll show you two videos that Hell I took afterwards. But yeah, it was
you took the videos after?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, I'm sure they're still good.
So anyway, yeah, that was Saturday.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it was super good. What about y'all? Did you do anything?
Nothing of import.
I did a fencing booth thing with Jenna. So boring. On Sunday.
I mean, kind of actually though. I mean, you're not wrong. You're just incomplete.
That was my nickname in high school.
Did you want to start talking about it, and then I'll eventually interrupt and take over?
Convergence happened.
So anyway, James and I hosted a party for Convergence. Mm-hmm. No, like, I really do want you to go on. I thought, just wanted to do the joke. But do you want to? Would you fucking talk? Oh my God.
I have shows that I did that I want to talk about.
Oh,
at
okay.
Convergence. So having you talk about the party room.
All right.
Do you want me to keep talking at this point?
Oh, God, like, seriously? No.
Okay, then somebody throw a pie.
I just didn't want to overshadow James because I know I'm going to anyway, but whatever.
I've accepted this.
Okay, so this year, James and I don't know if you heard about this, but we co-hosted a party room.
Never
at
heard of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. We ran the Jasmine Dragon Party Room, which is an Avatar The Last Airbender fan room that served coffee and tea and played Avatar cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what we did for 20 fucking hours.
The whole thing.
Over the course of Convergence. Mm-hmm. But it was the first year getting this all started up. And getting everything put together was a little chaotic because it's the first year and there's no... solid process. There will be a process next year. Oh yeah. But yeah, I was working until like 2 a.m, making sure that we were set up for the next day, and then I woke up at 6:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
to get things started. And yeah, so we opened our doors and waited for the masses. And there were a few people that showed up. And then there were a few more. And then some left, and then some more showed up. It was not, like, a huge deluge of people, but it was a pretty constant trickle.
I mean, first year.
Well, I'm on Thursday.
Yeah, yes, on Thursday, yeah.
Okay. And I was like, oh, God, I have grossly overestimated how many people are going to be coming through here. and so, yeah, Thursday was chill. But, like, also, technically, the con doesn't start until noon, and we opened at 8 a.m. So
a lot of people weren't even there.
Closed at 1:30.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But... Yeah, so like that first day, I was like, oh, God, what have I done? I have put so much time and money into this fucking thing. And then the next day, it started with a trickle. And then there was more than a trickle.
And then it was a squirt.
Gross. And then it was just like, at a certain point, there was... barely any room to breathe in that fucking room.
That's right.
That's a good autobiography name.
No.
It started with a trickle.
Nope.
The Sylvia Saint Diary.
God damn it. Yeah. So the people did arrive eventually, but yes. Like after that first day, I was like, oh God, I have already failed. And then the second day, I was like, oh, there you are. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we served coffee, we served tea, we popped a circuit twice.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
I wish it was. No.
God damn, I wish it was. No, the hotel wiring is not built to run 5 percolators and 2 kettles.
It's weird.
At the same time.
And a lack of
and
foresight.
And a fridge and a TV.
And, yeah. And like,
that's a lack of foresight,
truly.
We had spent some time on Wednesday trying to figure out what we could plug in where with a power strip.
Giggity.
Yeah. And we did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Figured out right away that our original plan was not going to work, so we scrapped that. Mm-hmm. And had to readjust, but we were able to. So that was fun. But the new plan involved a certain level of communication as to what was plugged in where. And there was miscommunication. And so...
With James around? What?
I don't even think James was at fault the first time.
Yeah.
the first time.
Right. No, it was the first time that was my doing, I think. Because during the day, when the percolator was just staying warm...
Yeah.
It wasn't drawing enough power to cause a problem when both kettles were plugged in on one circuit that also included the TV and the fridge. that was under the critical level, but as soon as it was fully percolating, once it was actually brewing the coffee in the morning, that was too much.
I thought the plan was to not even have them plugged in once they were brewed, unless it was the decaf, because the decaf was just sitting there.
That's what was plugged in, the decaf only.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But having the decaf on staying warm seemed to be fine. Having the decaf
I thought when it broke, there were 2 different coffee makers plugged in. One in one spot, one in another.
Maybe so.
And then the kettles got plugged in, and then that broke it.
Maybe so.
Anyway.
Yeah. Sounds like quite the dance.
It really was.
It ended up being, yes.
It was more electric than I expected.
See, now I'm just picturing next year you getting the room above it and then just having like a hose running out the window and into the window below it where you just brew the coffee and dump it down a pipe.
No. Actually, I think the room above it is the pool and I have extra concerns about that.
Easy source of water. It's already got stuff steeped in it.
Yep. That's where you get your tea water.
Oh, God. Ew, no.
Genuine convergence tea.
It's already been teabagged.
Oh, great. Stop. Oh. I'm just trying to put it together. Nice little kid-friendly, non-alcoholic room where people can caffeinate and enjoy cartoons. And
black
you all
tea or green?
Oh, my God.
Both.
A convergence, probably green.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we
suddenly interested in the room.
Okay. Can we stop? Can we fucking stop at this point?
Okay. All right.
I don't know if I can.
God damn it! Try.
Okay.
Try real hard. Now it just sounds like you're shitting. So anyway.
Yeah.
I think we've got a plan figured out for next year that will help minimize miscommunication. Mm-hmm. And the answer is we just don't have other outlets. We tape over anything on a power strip that would overload it.
If you need to use something else got to go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that was definitely a fun dance we had to do to get coffee going and make sure it went.
Again, first year, you figure these things out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had some issues with the carpets, but I think we figured out how to settle that for next year.
Mm-hmm. They didn't match the drapes.
Mm. No, they did, actually.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I felt I did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, well coordinated.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We put rugs down. Mm. So we put the carpet plastic protector stuff down, and then we put rugs down on top of that. And then the rugs kept moving. So I think we have to put a little bit of carpet protector on the ends to tack it down to the carpet protector underneath.
Sure.
So that it doesn't keep moving. I think that's going to work.
Well, they've got like carpet tape or rug tape.
That's going to be a little too severe for the application.
Yeah.
As someone who has used that on carpets to keep them from moving on floors,
yeah.
You'd have to be very sure about what tape you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I know they have that. But if I'm going to have leftover carpet protector anyway,
mm-hmm.
why should I go buy another thing?
Sure.
It's another expense, and it's going to work just as well.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, a roll of that stuff is like $10, but...
Yeah, but if I don't need to spend the $10...
Yeah, definitely.
And that's it. I mean, this is the thing. I spent a fuck ton of money on this room.
I believe it. Truly. I believe it.
And we did not recoup that in tips. And like, it's fine.
So
I
do better next year, people.
I expected to lose some money on this venture.
You always do.
I was, but it is
a rare party room that makes a profit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I have done
party rooms in the past
that have made a profit. Mm-hmm. But no, this
the years
is...
that I was involved.
I'm sure that was the difference.
Yes, it was definitely Salsa and not me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
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 So anyway,
yeah.
We got many lovely comments.
Yes.
So many people were excited to have coffee. They were just like, oh my God. So people could tip over Venmo and PayPal as well. And I got to read the comments. And usually it would be something like coffee or Jasmine Dragon or cabbages, because you could vote for which was your favorite nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we had water, fire, air, earth, cabbages with a question mark. And so everybody voted for cabbages.
Of course.
Yeah, functionally.
Yeah. But yeah, so like messages like that. And one of the messages that I got on PayPal was just all bold letters, life.
Mm.
I was like, yes, you are welcome for life. Few people stopped me to be like, oh my God, you're a little literal lifesaver.
Mm.
And I'm like, no, that's first aid downstairs. Please don't confuse the two.
Right.
And I understand the emotions behind it, but I'm like, mm.
But you're not using the word literally correct.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with that.
Okay.
No, they're using literally figuratively. Literally.
They're literally using literally figuratively.
Yeah. Sort of metaphorically.
We just broke Salsa.
Yeah.
I don't like you anymore.
He didn't before, but he still doesn't.
Right.
But I used to, too.
But it was actually a lovely, relaxed environment.
Oh, yeah.
People would come in and just watch cartoons and drink their coffee in the morning. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted for this. So it was pretty good overall.
Yeah.
I had another thing I was going to say about it, but I forgot. Whatever.
Huh. We got a lot of people asking if we were going to do it again next year.
Yeah. And I believe that we are.
Yeah.
Again,
try.
I put so much money into it this year.
Yeah.
So much of it is just upfront costs
of
buying things for the room. Percolators, for instance.
Yeah. Infrastructure.
I did way overestimate our coffee needs, though. Like,
so you're just going to be so drinking much. Real good coffee for the next few weeks?
No, I got probably about 6 months' worth of leftover coffee.
I know how much you drink coffee. A few weeks.
I've already taken that into account.
Yeah.
I have 35 pounds of coffee.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to drink next week?
God damn it. I do have places some of that's going to go. Some people are actually buying them off of me.
That'll help mitigate costs, too.
That'll help take some of that cost down that I've been like, But yeah, so much of this is, you know, the percolators, the various things necessary to make all of that go. And, well, like cups.
Right.
Is there a charge for the room?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Whoa, yeah.
Yep. But, I mean, that's a third of my costs.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yep.
Well, a little less than a third, still a very large chunk of it.
But, yeah, that's still definitely an expense.
Yeah. So, yeah, next year I basically would only have to buy coffee in the room to make it go.
Good.
But, I mean, I'm going to buy more next year because, of course, I am.
It's so better.
I want new badge ribbons. I just made the Jasmine Dragon as a badge ribbon this year, but I need, there is no Warren Bossing say, I need my cabbages. I need ribbons for each of the four nations. I need, you've been invited, or the king has invited you to Lake Laogai. I need, there's so many quotable things that I need on ribbons from, for this.
It's the quenchiest.
It's the quenchiest. It'll quench ya. There's just so much. So I can make new ribbons every year and add them with our old ribbons. And if I do this for 5 years, I will have so many goddamn ribbons for people to have. And just be like, just pick one. Take all of them. I don't care. Whatever.
It was nice.
It was quite lovely. And then I guess the only other thing of note. There were two more things of note. Okay. So I did cosplay. With a couple of lovely ladies. One of them is Salsa's wife. She is a lovely lady.
I have a wife?
Surprise.
We're just as surprised as you are, honestly.
She's not surprised. She's just cranky about it at this point. You don't remember that she exists. Buddy. She felt it upstairs right now, and she's like, I need to go yell at Salsa later.
I don't know. I've been sleeping alone for the last week. I kind of forgot.
There is that. But, yeah, we all cosplayed different versions of Leia. Raiderly did Endor.
Yeah, Moon of Endor, yeah.
Yeah, Moon of Endor. Rachel did Cloud City. And I did Episode 7, Force Awakens, with the purple vest and stuff.
General.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all general at that point, aren't they? Wait, are they?
She's primarily referred to as Princess in the original trilogy.
Yeah, she's a diplomat during the first two movies.
But
she still has a royal title that she primarily goes by, whereas in the third she is referred to primarily as general.
Correct. Yeah. When there's no longer a pretense about the rebellion.
Yeah.
Fair. Post pretense.
And also her principality is exploded.
Yeah. Ooh. And that planet burned down and then it sank into the swamp.
Yep.
But yeah, so we did that. Got some lovely pictures. Some of our friends were cosplaying Barf and Lone Star from Spaceballs. And so we got some really fun pictures off of that. And yeah, it was nice to walk around and do photo shoots and have people recognize us and just be hanging out with a couple of my favorite people. So that was great. But then the other thing that happened was Saturday night. So when James was joking about doing a booth thing with Jenna on Sunday, a lot of the volunteers for the Jasmine Dragon party room were boothies, right?
Some of them still are.
Yeah. But there is another boothie that runs his own party room, and we took it over. We staged a coup. So this other party room is vastly different than ours. It happens at night, for one. It has alcohol, also. And whereas I put a lot of thought and planning into my party room...
Really?
Surprise.
I know.
This other party room is run by a magnificent ADHD squirrel. And it works. Like, we were both very popular. His party room's been going for a while, and it's always been a consistent mainstay.
People love their posters.
That they made out of Sharpie in 5 minutes. Like, Yeah, they don't print posters. They just Sharpie the name and stuff and, like, maybe a little picture of a dude or something. And then just plaster it on a wall. They're just like, meh. So, yeah, but this room does different hourly themes. One theme is pirate shanty, and then all of the people that work that room will go quick, get a pirate costume on, and they'll sing pirate shanties while they're serving alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a Halloween.
They had a fighting game one.
Yeah. And they do have a few games that you can play, like consoles. But super old fighty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But one of their theme hours was called Revolution. And each of their bartenders would take over. They would stage a coup and take over from the previous bartender and establish different rules for drinking during that 10-15 minute period. And Josh and I got wind of this. And we're like, can we take over your room party during the revolution? And they're like, yes, that would be awesome.
Children of the revolution.
Right. So I think what they expected is we would just show up and be like, hey, you guys, go. We're taking over for 10 minutes
or
whatever.
Have they met
you? This is not what happened.
No.
What happened...
That would not have been my expectation at all.
What happened was Josh and I conferred, and we knew that we would need to chant something on our way in.
Sure.
And since it's the Jasmine Dragon takeover, we came up with Make Tea Not War.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a good chant.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh kind of disappeared. There was more conversation to have, but at about 11:15, we were scheduled for our takeover at 11:45. 11:15, Josh was talking to every passerby, telling them that they needed to come back at 11:45 because he needed their help with something. And so by the time our revolution was about to start,
he had a crowd.
There were 30 fucking people.
The
just
proletariat
like,
were uprising.
Here.
Yep.
And for the party room, James actually had made for us some lovely waist aprons that said say the Jasmine Dragon on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Josh had one of those, and he lifted it above his head like a flag, and started chanting "Make Tea, Not War," and 30 people from outside of the room come marching in. Meanwhile. Yep. I'm in the room, and as soon as Josh starts, I start getting people inside the room to chant, make tea, not war, make tea, not war.
You were the mole, yeah.
Yeah, and then I joined up with Josh, and we get over to the bar, and the bartender's looks on their faces was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, one of them looked just outright scared. Muffin. It's okay.
You haven't met Boosie, have you?
And our buddy that knew that we were going to be doing a takeover but underestimated us in the amount of effort we were going to put into this was just like, yep, of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I should have seen this coming. Mm-hmm. Like,
you gave Festies time to prepare a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did you expect to happen?
Right. So, the other portion of this is that I had packed various liquors that I thought I may or may not want to have over the course of the weekend. And one of them was Twisted Tea Whiskey.
Mm. Mm.
Now, the Jasmine Dragon is a tea house.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we get up there, we're like, we're not serving alcohol. We're not going to serve your swill. We're serving tea. And Josh and I get behind the bar, and he starts IDing people. And all we served, we said, do you want tea or tea and lemonade? Because there just happened to be some lemonade there. Like, we haven't thought through mixers at all. There just happened to be a near full thing of lemonade sitting on the bar. And I'm like, well, Winter can yell at me later.
Yep.
And did not, but...
No, goodness, no. That point...
He's still nursing the hangover.
Probably. So, yeah, Josh ID'd people, and I poured drinks. We got There was a tea. Like, you could either get, like, a shot of the tea whiskey or the same amount of alcohol, but, like, filled with lemonade.
With some lemonade, yeah.
Yeah. And we were out of tea in 10 minutes, and then we went, well,
here's some lemonade.
We were like, yep, somebody should take over. And there was about 10 minutes left until the next theme mm-hmm. that they were going to do. Like, ostensibly, there should have been another takeover after us. No. They were just like, well, we're just going to roll on into the next
how
theme
are you
hour.
Compete with that?
Because, fight me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was our takeover, and it was delightful.
That sounds glorious.
Oh, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
We also, so we were chatting with them afterwards, and, like, one of the bartenders was like, I didn't even know you could do that. And I'm like, oh, honey. We figured it out.
Forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah.
You could have done that any time? No, Eddie. Only when it was funny.
Yep.
So yes, that was another absolute highlight
Fantastic.
Of my weekend. So yeah. James, anything else to add about the Jasmine Dragon?
I wanted to be at the Revolution of the Jasmine Dragon and could not be because I was in a panel show. It was a big fat quiz of geekdom.
Mm.
And host Mike D is a substantial fan of the British quiz show Big Fat Quiz, and so Jax and I were enlisted as one of the teams of two, and had an absolute blast. It, because the runtime had to be under an hour, it was a little bit condensed, but we ended up walking out of there with not like double the points of the other team, but more points. Just like the clear victors. And it was super fun. We did not expect to do well. We usually don't. We're usually just there to antagonize Mike. but that happened to be our quiz, I guess. had a lot of fun. And then from there, I went directly to my final show of the weekend, which was the pickup lines, the bad geeky pickup lines show. Where some of them we got to write ahead of time, and some of them were the categories were just had to be impromptu. I made somebody in the audience, at least one person, just like fully pink blush and like suddenly not able to make eye contact, which was great. That was fantastic. I did really well. I almost won that one, but I lost by 1 point.
Aww.
Yeah. And then the person who did win decided that the spoils, which were a filthy pickup line, not cookbook, coloring book, filthy pickup line coloring book, that the spoils of that should be divided amongst the crowd. And so she was tearing pages out of it to give to people, which is fan-fucking-tastic.
That's so good.
But we had a blast, and that was Saturday night, and even though I was getting up every morning at 6:30, in order to be to the Jasmine Dragon in time to help move things and open and, you know, co-host. Mm-hmm. I had had such a kind of a down feeling of feeling like I was just not having a good convention other than these activities that I had that because I hadn't really seen anybody or like looked in on any of the other party rooms, anything like that. But, ended up staying up until about 2:30, wandering around drinking at the different
like you do.
Establishments as one will. I took the goat at, the Fallout room, which is the test that they administer to tell you what your occupation should be. It's what generalized occupational aptitude test. Is the goat, and it said that I should be the vault chaplain. But I had a great time in that room and other rooms. We made new friends. We bumped into old friends. We saw a lot of fucking awesome party rooms. One of the fighting games that Salty's had put up later is one that, Salsa, you might enjoy, because you can play it single player. It's called Hellish Quart.
I mean, you can play a lot of fighting games single player.
And it's similar in design to... did you ever play Bushido Blade?
Yeah.
Where you can just kill somebody instantly if you hit them in the right way with the right weapon?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very similar, but it's they have dug even more deeply mm-hmm. into...
I'm familiar with the game.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, so Hellish Quart was very fun.
Yes.
And so I played that a bunch, and for someone who I've played it once before, I feel like I did really well against the person who had been sitting there and playing for quite a while. I lost, but not by much.
I ended up playing Hellish Quart too with our friend Jason.
Ooh.
I won a lot.
Yeah, that seems right.
Jason won a couple of times towards the end.
Nice.
Found the right character and everything, but I won a lot.
Just wandering around, bumping into people, just like convening at the convention, conventing.
I thought a great conventing time was what you did after the con and talked about all the stuff you didn't like.
Oh no, that's where you give up your life of sin and become a nun. But did that, the first show of the three that I did was Vilification Tennis, which is at Convergence always going to be a fucking rock star show.
Such a show.
And we had two of our four new amateurs there.
Nice.
It was amazing. I was so stressed out about dressing up as this character because of all of the like little detail things that would go into it, and just the concern that nobody's going to know who the fuck this is and all of this other stuff. But I ended up doing that, and wore an old pair of suit pants that worked well with suspenders, and two jokes in during the celebration of a point. I just ripped the entire, like, ass seam of the pants.
Well, at least you did it during Vilification Tennis.
Right.
On purpose?
No.
No, nope. Okay.
Nope. Just, like, bent down and came back up. Like, felt... It didn't make an audible tearing sound as far as I could tell, but I just felt the whole, like, ass of the pants give.
Yep.
And I was like, that's ripped. I have a rip in there.
Yep.
Later, like, there was an opportunity while I was off stage, and I was like, how bad... Oh, that's like a big rip. I need to stay facing away from the... Like, keep faced toward the audience.
Mm.
No matter what else I do, this is now me...
An imperative.
...facing out. Yeah. Then later, once I got back to the hotel and changed out of it, I was like, all the way from the belt line to the taint, the crotch of the pants.
Oh my God.
Was not only ripped vertically, but there was like a rip across as well, that it was just like a ragged flap of fabric. And I was wearing white undies with designs on them, and that...
Comedy!
It would have been.
Did you just say undies?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
How old are you?
My Tomboy X boxer briefs were of a blank color.
Blanc.
With intricate designs.
Ooh, intricate.
Of a nerdy nature.
Ooh, even better. Now we're getting somewhere. Way better than undies.
That's what my undies looked like. So yeah, but I feel like we had a really good show. The crowd got really into it, and I got some gasps from the crowd, which is always very gratifying.
Oh yeah.
Some especially of them were for his jokes.
Right. And then afterward, we got there was a thread somewhere where someone had asked Facebook, mm-hmm. like,
came off your pants.
What did you like about the convention? What made you feel good about this year's Convergence? And someone had said, I loved vilification tennis. I know not every place, you know, in the outside world is going to be a safe space or anything like this, but the entire convention felt like a safe, welcoming space. And even vilification tennis, where they are just wrecking each other with insults, nobody made me feel self-conscious. No one insulted another person's appearance in a way that hurt me. Which, you know, one of the standards for Vilten is the fat mom joke, or, you know, all kinds of different physical aspects. But for some reason, we were just leaning into the geeky material, and
at a con,
it worked.
For some reason?
What? Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were leaning into the geeky material, and for some reason, it worked out that way. And it might be that it's changing.
I feel like your causality has problems here.
It definitely does. But leave me out of it. So this isn't about me. But no, it felt good. I feel like the amateurs, like, very well and truly held their own. And we had great line games. Even before the Vilten show, somebody in the Jasmine Dragon was saying how during Vilten they hope that we do a particular improv game because that's their favorite thing that we do.
Aww.
And that was one of the two that had been picked for between the three rounds. It was just fucking great. It felt good.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then on Sunday, I lost my fucking patience with somebody, which didn't feel super good. But it was at the after my Sunday shift, so I slept for 3 hours, maybe 4 hours. Got up, I put in 7-something hours at the Jasmine Dragon, and then we did Teardown.
Yep.
And started bustling stuff out of there, so I stacked another 2-3 hours more onto that, and then I loaded up a bell cart and was moving it through the first floor of the hotel on up and down the ramps that you know are alongside these narrow fucking ramps to either side of the staircases, and you frequently have to like zigzag back and forth, which seems dumb, because it is.
Right.
But at one point, there was a super long ramp between two sections of the hotel, and someone had spotted a friend. Someone was making their way up the ramp and had spotted a friend, and that friend was on the staircase right next to it, and they were just like leaning over the railing, chatting back and forth, and someone from the room had gone ahead of me in order to tell people, like, hey, there's someone waiting at the top of the ramp. Can you make space? Can you know, all of this stuff? And I thought this person had looked directly at me, at the cart, and then gone back to their conversation. And I just boiled over. I said nothing to them. But I grabbed the cart and I took it down the stairs behind the people who were having the conversation with this person on the ramp. And I just, like, and in the meantime, the other people from the room were like, oh, God, oh, we're going down the stairs. And, like, rushing to, I knew that I could keep the cart from toppling over or things from getting broken, but I just could not stand at the top of that ramp anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I knew that somebody was like swooping in for a quick pickup and time was of the fucking essence.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed the front end of the cart and like lifted it down the stairs, rolled it over to the next set, dropped it down the stairs, 2-3 stairs at a time. Got it outside. We got everything unloaded. We got everything put into the, into the car that was, and I, like, took the cart back and everything like that. And I felt bad. It, like, the moment that I was outside, I was like, I overreacted and lost my cool because I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And because, to me, that behavior is socially not good. That, like, you see that someone needs to use the ramp that you're on, and you just decide that what you're doing is more important. But just like had time to process it and think about it and think like everybody at this convention makes unconventional choices. We're all neurospicy. We're all, you know, like, and not right. socially aware and all kinds of other things. At no point did I ask them to move. And then suddenly a cart is just like barreling down the stairs behind two of them and in front of one other person. And I felt bad. So I did see the person who was on the ramp later and walked up and I was like, hey, not my proudest moment. I know that if somebody, I don't know how you feel about it, but I know that if somebody just like got frustrated and yanked a cart down a bunch of stairs in front of me, I would probably be surprised and alarmed, and unhappy. And she had said, like, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you at the top of the ramp. I don't know. I got overwhelmed because I hadn't seen these people all convention, and then suddenly they're there. And I was like, I get it. And she said, there's nothing to apologize for. But I was like, I can do better. But thank you. And I hope you have a good evening. I hope your con was great. I'm glad you saw your friends. Right. Done. But like I did not like feeling that way. that was not a great feeling, but I'm really relieved that I got the opportunity to apologize for that.
I feel like that often. But like I think there's a part of me that is like I am a woman, so people don't hear me the first 15 times anyway. And so for me to be able to navigate the world, I have to be pushier than I would prefer to be. And so, like, for me, it's one of those... Like, your situation's a little different. You definitely could have said something more or whatever, but, like... There's also a point at which you're just trying to navigate the world and the world is not navigating along with you. So, like, but yeah, I often say things and I'm like, oh, God, I wish I didn't have to be pushy in that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an uncommon feeling, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Sure.
Also, I didn't. I was weirdly worried that she would feel embarrassed or ashamed for like taking up the ramp when somebody needed to get down. You know,
on the one hand, it's an accessibility ramp for a reason, and if you're going to block it, you're blocking accessibility. It is kind of a dick move to do.
Right.
Right. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about that aspect of it. Like, not overly so.
I feel like it worked out.
I don't think they need to be punished for it or anything, but like, no, it's okay. It is okay to feel embarrassed when you do something like that. It's not negative. We label things as like positive and negative emotions.
Yeah.
And embarrassment is just a feeling to tell you that maybe there's a thing that you might want to do better next time. That's sure. It's just a way to learn a lesson, not like in a punishment way. Just it's an emotion for ourselves to be able to look at what we're doing and maybe do better next time. That's it.
Well, and
it doesn't have to be bad.
Great if that's something that she learned. My feeling is I didn't want it to stick with her in a bad way.
Sure, but that's on her.
And especially, I, again, didn't want it to be a bad experience where somebody scared her by acting out.
I mean, the scariness of the situation is a different thing. Like, if somebody was afraid of the very large white dude yanking something down the stairs, like, I get that.
Right.
That's different. But, like, embarrassment, I get frustrated that there are so many emotions, like anger and sadness and embarrassment and even frustration that people are like, they have these negative looks at them. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. No, emotions are there to tell you something. It's what you do with those emotions.
Sure.
And you wouldn't have caused that person embarrassment. They feelings belong to the person.
Yeah.
So if they were embarrassed by their behavior, that's their emotion to figure out why and how and what to do with that. But that doesn't make it, that doesn't even make it negative. It's uncomfortable. It's okay to be uncomfortable.
It is okay to be uncomfortable.
So.
Agreed.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You hit a thing for me, James. You hit a thing for me. I got into a ranty thing.
I wonder if you hit a thing for her.
Jesus Christ.
We'll never know unless she tells us.
Yep.
Oh, fucking A. Now I need a cigarette.
All right. Well, we should probably take a break then.
Sounds good.
So we'll do that.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
I got a tired. I hit a sleepy.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a nap?
Can I?
No, we're back. I'm Salsa.
James! I'm tired.
No, you're not. Do it right.
And I'm tired.
And it's time for a slow five.
Slow five against the wall?
Whoa. Oh, God.
All right. And there it went.
Today's
I'm back. I'm fine. Jenna. By what now?
Brought to you by the letter F.
The Ooh. Letter F.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... the official Stefan Senpai.
Ooh. I don't know if I trust
Or is it?
God damn it.
No, sorry. The trust is gone.
It's broken. You broke
the brain trust is here. That's the problem.
It's really not.
No.
Oh, I wasn't talking about us.
Well, we're the ones that are here.
Question number five.
I really wanted to see how long we could keep the silence, and I'm the one that broke it. I'm mad at myself.
Opening thoughts. Have fun storming the hotel. Convergence.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll make it?
It'd take a miracle.
Do you think it'll work?
Huh? Yeah.
Why does everybody misquote that?
It bothers me too, Salsa. It happened frequently during the room party, and yes. I was just like, I swear to God, I'm gonna kill you all.
Hmm. Anyway, I mean, it's not that difficult. Anyway, question number one. Empty or alone?
Oh.
By myself. I want to be all by myself. I want to be alone.
We've met.
I'm already empty.
Jesus.
Maybe it's because you're alone. Maybe if you were with other people, you'd be full by now.
I would be full of it. It's true.
I'd say you're pretty full of it.
Okay. I'm going to say I would rather be alone with my thoughts than be empty-headed. I don't know which is accurate.
I think I have one thought and that it's all alone. So I think I have to go with empty.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Question number two. Down or foam? I prefer a down pillow.
I prefer a foam pillow. I fucking hate getting stabbed with little feathers that then pull out of the pillows.
That's the best part.
Oh, no. Salsa, no.
No.
You get a toy. Oh. You sleep, and every so often you get a toy.
A free prize.
Yes.
The pillow fairy is here.
Oh, God.
No, I don't like...
I got 75 cents and a feather.
I like... With down, you could, like, mold it and shape it and lump it. And with foam, it's one shape.
The problem is that my head will... unmold it over the course of the night, and then I wake up with a crick in my neck. I have to go foam on this one. What I'd love to have is a nice solid foam structure with just a nice thin layer of down on top.
I see.
That would be lovely.
My pillow is about three steps away from flat, and I prefer it that way.
Oh, God.
Oh, fucking hate that.
I will go without a pillow before I use a thick pillow.
Oh, no.
Oh, Christ, no.
So the pillow that I have is the kind that has the little... It's foam and it's got the neck support bump.
Yeah.
Fucking love that thing.
It's a ramp.
I was having so many back problems before I got that. Like, the upper back neck area thing. Uh-huh. I was having so many problems and I got that thing and it was, like, instantly better. So
I frequently sleep on my side now. When I am by myself, I sleep on my stomach or on my back most. But when I have somebody in the bed with me, I sleep on my side. And so if I have a thin pillow, then my shoulder and neck, like you were saying.
Yeah, basically you can touch your ear to your shoulder.
Just
and
fucking
it's like,
hurts.
Yeah, this is why I sleep on my back.
And so if I have to have two pillows, and they have to be pretty, like, meaty. Mm-hmm. So I've got two foam pillows, two of the, like, foam memory foam ones. One of them is, like, the chopped up memory foam that's sort of squishy and pliable and conforms to the top of the bed. And then sort of nested into it a little is one of the foam wedge.
Yeah, the foam wedges.
With the neck contour.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I will be unhappy. Yep.
See, we'll go to, like, a hotel or something like that, and I will walk in and take one of those pillows and throw it on the floor. First thing. Because with two pillows, your head is, like, 2 feet above your neck.
No, it's roughly 8 inches off the surface of the bed, which is about where my neck starts compared to my shoulder. Like,
I have less space to fill, so I also use only one pillow.
Sure. Yeah.
I forgot to bring my pillow.
Sure.
So, but it's still, like, using one pillow, I started off just fine. I could flump everything. I literally woke up with, like, my head surrounded by down, and, like, my ear is tucked in on the bed, and I'm just like, this is not
good. Again, I sleep on my back, and so if I have anything thicker than a few inches, then my shoulders are on the bed, and my nose is, like, on my sternum.
Yeah. I could see that, because sometimes if I roll onto my back, I have to ditch one of the pillows.
Mm-hmm. My pillow is great at home. It's got a super tall side and a short side.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
That still has neck support. So, like, if I did want to sleep on my back, which I really can't do because of the lower back curvature issue, and my anterior pelvic tilt.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wanted to, I would also have to tuck a pillow under my knees. But I do have that shorter side.
Sure.
That still provides the support that I need. So.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Question number three. Rigid or flexible?
Like a coffee tumbler or a like a paper coffee cup? I don't think that's it, but
I don't think that's it either.
This is the sauce.
I mean, it really, like, I now I feel like it's going to be a bad question.
Yeah.
I thought that at first, but flexible is not the word I would have used for that.
Oh, shower door or shower curtain?
Oh, shower door.
Shower door.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that context.
Yeah, 100% shower door.
Fuck curtains.
Yeah, shower curtains are misery.
Yeah.
They suck in on you and
give you unwanted shower curtain hugs. Yeah.
I hate it. I hate the feeling of that. Yeah. It's just like, no.
Plus, I think, Jenna, this will also be very poignant for you. A curtain is harder to clean.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Fuck that.
No.
Fuck it.
I agree 1,000%. I love my closet.
Why just for
tub,
Jenna?
Because I'm very particular about the
cleanliness. Do you not clean your shower?
I do.
Okay,
but
so
I also realize that clean to me is like 65% of clean for Jenna.
Okay.
This is true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, it sounded like a really sexist question.
Oh, I could get that. No, because we basically live together for a bit.
Yes.
We do have pseudo-roommate experiences that
you
fill in.
You see where I'm coming from, though.
No, absolutely. No.
I see.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Good call out, however unnecessary. Okay. I appreciate I appreciate
that one didn't
you actually.
Feel comfortable.
No.
Okay.
No.
Very fair. No, the context is I know that Jenna's level of cleanliness is.
It was just like, it's a cleaning question. Let's ask the woman.
God. No. Thank you for having that reaction to what you interpreted.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that was definitely. I'm sure I've yelled at James about shower curtains before.
Okay,
is pretty
fair.
Much with that.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, I'll go definitely rigid. Yeah.
Okay. Same.
Yeah, same. Question number four. Keel or wheel?
Mobile home or boathouse? Houseboat. Like a houseboat sounds real fun.
Until you have to pay for upkeep and mold.
Boats and pools are
just mold.
A place that you throw money into. Mobile homes are not very different, but they are, I think, substantially easier.
I still want to do a conversion van with an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
I just go around with a converted ambulance. This is my retirement plan. Probably because by that point...
it'll
we
be good
won't
to have the
s-
oxygen in the back anyway.
Well, we won't have Social Security, so I'm not, and I don't own property, so.
No, my parents, that's what they do in their retirement, is they just own a big fuck all mobile home, and they've been to every 50 state now.
Oh.
They've traveled all over the
driving
fucking
place.
Driving to
Alaska must have been fun, but not as fun as driving to Hawaii.
Well, they didn't take that to Hawaii. They've been to Hawaii.
Okay.
They did drive it to Alaska, though. They've said Canada, Mexico, all the 50 states.
Well, it's just a short hop from there to Hawaii.
Yeah.
The
rest of us will follow.
On maps, they always take Alaska off and put it down into the...
I know. I want you to hop first, James.
I understand.
Okay.
Jenna, you were saying?
Nope.
Okay.
That's no longer relevant.
Sorry.
Just isn't.
Yeah, no, I've said multiple times how much, like, the romanticism of living at the seaside, I love that idea, but every single time I've been to the ocean... You're just like, this is amazing. And then you look and you're like, oh, it's just rotten wood and mold, and if you're at the sea, salt,
yeah,
and everything. It's just, oh.
The thing that convinced me that I don't want to go sailing in like a cabin cruiser, mm-hmm. you know, something where you have like a sleeping quarters on a sailboat. Which, again, as you said, sounds fucking amazing, is reading the Narrowboats channel on Reddit, where they're like, hey, I've tried these 15 things, my electricity doesn't work, and also I've got water that constantly slops in mm-hmm. in the bathroom or something. Yep. Just it's all the difficulty of a camper
mm-hmm.
with all the fun of making it watertight and float.
Well, just like, I have friends that have like lake cabins,
yeah,
and they don't have plumbing because they're too close to the water.
Oh yeah,
for toilets and plumbing, so they like sure. have to buy their water and use a composter.
Yeah.
For their toilet.
Yeah,
just like mm. you're just like, this sounds amazing to have. I will have a lakeside cabin. Oh. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do love the idea of it.
No, it's just, again, I mm-hmm. love so the idea. In practice, though.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I would say wheel.
Same.
Same.
Okay. Question number five. Home or away?
This is a real hard question for you, Salsa.
This is a really fucking hard question for me.
I think I play softball better at home than when I'm away in a different...
Home advantage.
Mm, yeah, home advantage.
Get the home crowd cheering for you. Get last lineup choice. last shift change, that's what I was...
I like going to conventions... I have gone to many conventions. I have gone to probably a dozen different conventions, some of them multiple times. So it is a fun experience. It is not one that I get to have very often now that I am no longer in college. And going on the road trip to go to Iowa, Ohio, Chicago, all of these other different places, in order to see their anime conventions, it's a fucking adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's also, I think, one of the things that I enjoy about it, but that is also a reason that I don't do it as much, is it's a huge fucking inconvenience. Driving to another state to go see, you know, like get a hotel room and see whatever, like packing eight of us into a hotel room sucks.
But we're that not is young also anymore. Part of the adventure.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I also know why it sounds awful to me now.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to say away.
James just took his first step towards salsahood.
I'm going to get that checked by a doctor.
Too late. It's inevitable.
No.
Oh, no.
No, that's impossible.
It's only a matter of time, James. Yeah, no, I'm going to go away.
We love that.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. I prefer it myself.
Yeah.
No, I love to travel. I love to have those experiences. I love to have those adventures. Even just going to a fucking spam museum in Austin, when you go out there and just go, I'm going to find out what happens there, Barnaby, and it's fun to just have weird things happen.
Yeah. See a flying RC car.
And stop and watch. Oh, that was such a fun time. Whenever I'm traveling around in Seattle or something like that, it's just like wherever the fucking wind takes you, you go see a thing and you're like, I'm gonna fucking stop and see what the fuck that is. It just leads you off on these crazy adventures that you wouldn't have if you sat there with an itinerary. I love that shit. Mm-hmm. Love that shit.
Same. Yeah.
I don't travel much. a lot of my travel is just within the surrounding states, even. I've never seen the ocean. I would definitely love to do more road trip travel stuff later on in life, but I'm very comfortable being around my house. I would rather have people come over. I have worked very hard to make a house that I want to be in, and so I spent a lot of time being in that house.
Oh, 100%. You know? 100%.
So I think I'm going to go home.
Cool.
Right now.
Oh, hey, yeah.
I'm going to go away, and Jenna's going to go home. So James is just be like, guys.
I'm the man of the house now.
Guys. all right. Let's find out what all this meant. Empty or alone? When a national holiday lands on a weekday,
mm-hmm.
and many of your coworkers take vacation the rest of the week,
mm-hmm.
do you prefer to go into the mostly empty office anyway, or work from home? I don't like going into the office when it's not empty.
I actually prefer going to the empty office when it's empty, because my office is super cool.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to deal with people.
You're starting to sound like salsa too.
Ew, it's contagious.
Well, there's
contagious.
Always no, there's a like I don't have to worry about somebody getting the last of the snacks in the snack basket. I don't have to worry about people
somebody calling dibs on a sandwich.
Yeah, interrupting my
in Minnesota work. Somebody's gonna take the last snack? Really?
Not everybody that works in our office are originally from the
office. Yeah, okay, that
racist.
Makes sense.
Anyway,
statist?
So. Oh, God.
Look, I'm not statist, but fuck Iowa.
that's not statism, that's just fact.
To all of our Iowa listeners, you exist.
Hey, that's Jenna's pooping state.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's real shitty.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry, Troy.
So my wife was talking about, you know, when school ended, she was going to be home on these days, and so I could go into the office, you know, because the kids are not in school.
Right.
And and I was just like,
why?
Or I could just say, I'm sorry, I can't go in because the kids are home now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, but I'll be home too, so you can. And I'm like,
or
I could say that I can't go in because the kids are home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I don't want to go into the office, even when people are there.
Yeah. No, going into the empty office is fun and very weird. It is kind of a, like, waking up in the middle of the night at a hotel and going out and, like, wandering around a little bit. Is this something that people have done?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, today.
I've gotten up at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning and just, like, needed to get up and have a quick walk.
Into the halls,
just sort of do a couple laps.
Adventure.
And go see, you know, what parts of the hotel are open. And there's something kind of weird and soothing about it. And it's sort of the same thing in the office, but I don't think I would want to do that all the time, is the other thing.
Like, just when I'm at the office, I finished something, you know, I've been working on something, and I'm like, now I'm going to go walk to the lobby. Whereas, like, I'm at home, I've got, you know, the TV on all day in the background. I can focus on that and, you know, like, do things, you know, look at my phone, go upstairs, get a snack, things like that. There's all of those things that I can do. Whereas if I'm at work, I'm just like, yeah, I need like a 5-minute break. I guess I'll go to the lunchroom again.
Yeah.
You know,
that was one of the things, like, my office does not currently have free coffee.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
That's
definitely work from home, then.
Making the coffee loop is, I think, intrinsic to the office environment. Because sometimes you have to get up from your desk and go do something.
Right.
You just, like, you need to let something happen in the back of your brain.
You need to etch-a-sketch shake the brain a little bit.
And get up and move around and go get a thing. Yeah. And having an empty coffee is kind of perfect for that.
Yep.
I think finding those things that you can do or, like, go check on. Even when I was working in retail, like, going into the back room to check on something, like, make sure that things are stocked correctly and refilled and sorted and whatever. Like, it's there's something really deeply necessary about that.
Yeah, you need to mix it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. So, I do go a little bit stir crazy being at home all the time.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I was actually talking with a friend of ours that works at the same place I do earlier today, in fact, and I was like, I've been thinking of going into the office like once a week. And I'm like, the problem is that I don't have any real reason to go into the office. None of my coworkers are there. They all work from home. Yeah. Like, I was like, would you want to go into the office with me? Like, we could just
be office buddies.
Just be office buddies. And she was like, well, why do you want to go into the office? Like, she wasn't opposed to it. That's a very good
question. But,
she's like, are you looking to...
not getting a lot of enthusiasm out of it.
Well, no, she wasn't opposed. She wasn't against. She was just like, what's the purpose, though? What are you trying to accomplish with this idea? And I'm like, frankly, I just need to get up off my ass more. And if I go to the office, I'll be up off my ass more. Like...
yeah.
It's a surefire way to just not be sitting and kind of zoning in the same space, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, ultimately, if I don't have to pay a bus fare to get downtown and home and then get food downtown.
Yeah.
Like, that's been worth it.
Well, and one of my coworkers, because a lot of places are doing this, you know, return to office push, even if it's just for what they're calling anchor days. You know, like, everybody comes into the office on Wednesday, whatever. Thursday, or whatever. Yeah. You're right. He has said that in order to do that, he would have to insist on an amount of money. Because right now, very much like you would be able to watch your kids when they're home, he is doing the same thing. And they're saving thousands of dollars a month.
Right.
In child care alone.
Yes, absolutely.
And then also, where he lives, it's 40 minutes to an hour in light traffic to get one way.
Yep.
So you're talking about extending that 8-hour day to, you know, 9.5, 10 hours?
Yeah.
And he's got three kids? No.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, my wife is teaching summer school now, so she's away, and so I do have to be home now.
Yeah.
But there was, like, a two-week period where I could have gone to the office, and it was like, but...
yeah.
Or I could just wake up half of, you know, 20 minutes before my shift starts and pour a cup of coffee and a bowl of cereal and...
And right now, my break schedule allows me to provide transportation for my spouse to and from their job. And that is not an option if I'm 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah. What was the original thing about this?
Empty or alone.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Question number two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm home, but I'm not alone because the kids are here. But anyway, down or foam? Do you sleep on a down stuff pillow or a memory foam pillow?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nailed that one.
Got it.
Question number three, rigid or flexible? When going camping?
Okay.
Not at Fest.
Ah.
All right.
Do you prefer to sleep in a cabin?
or a tent?
Oh, I like to tent. Joe refuses to stay anywhere that doesn't have a fleshy. Like, that's... So, like, I don't get to tent as much as I would like to.
Same.
I used to love tenting, but now I can't. I just... I sleep in... Unless we're doing the whole fest, like, nine to the nines with
a box spring. Yeah, mattresses.
Exactly. Like, sleeping on an air mattress on the ground, I can't do that anymore.
I fucking hate air mattresses to death, and I will never sleep on one. If I can possibly avoid it, I would rather sleep on the floor than on an air mattress.
Yeah, I just... My joints can't handle that anymore.
I love sleeping on a cot.
Mm-hmm. Cot works. We go camping with our pop-up.
Yeah.
So I would call that rigid, I would personally. Say rigid.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I enjoyed tenting well enough, but I just can't anymore. Yeah. My body won't let me.
I like getting the vibe of the outdoors as I'm sleeping. You know, like there's something about I'm like I have a cot that has a topper that does a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. At this point, I could probably only do that for, like, a couple of days before I'm like, oh, no, my body.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one of my favorite camping memories is, like, camping at Lamb's Resort where the tent was, like, 20 feet away from the shore of Lake Superior, and it was raining, and so I got the sound of the rain on the tent and the waves crashing against the beach, and it was just... so wonderful. And you can't really get quite the same effect in a cabin.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can if you leave the windows open.
It's not the same because you're not getting the whoosh the of the tent. You're not getting all of that.
We spent the night after we got married, my wife and I, our little mini honeymoon, we went up north to Lake Superior. And we got some great advice from a friend of ours. We got it was a cabin next to the lake, and he was like, put on the fire in the
fireplace.
Mm-hmm. And open the window. Mm-hmm. That way you stay warm, but you hear the waves all night, and you feel, you know, and you get that coolness and stuff like that. And it was great. Yeah, you're right. It's not quite the same.
I love a cabin, but the annual camping trip has moved mostly into cabin stays. And I miss the camaraderie of all of us putting our tents up and like the small amount of inconvenience and struggle involved with that. There was like a goodness that I feel is missing. But yeah.
All right, question number four. Keel or wheel, what are you more likely to do with an afternoon at a lake?
Ooh.
Canoe/kayak on it, or bike around it?
Kayak. I love a kayak. I love a kayak.
Two things. Number one, if you're at a lake, what the fuck are you going to do with a bike?
Same.
Go. You can bike in downtown. Go do that. Like, if you're at a lake, take that opportunity.
Yeah.
While you can.
You're there for the water.
You can't kayak in downtown. And number two, if you ever see me on a bicycle, something's chasing me.
Another bicycle, a feral bicycle.
I don't do bicycles. Fuck bicycles. Fuck them in the ass.
Love a bicycle.
I fucking hate bicycles. Fuck bicycles.
I don't like either bikes or kayaks. So this is one of those.
Maybe it's a rowboat where someone is rowing you around.
Rowboat, canoe?
I would be better with, like, a rowboat.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Canoeing, also not a thing. I think it's the narrowness of the boat that bothers me.
Okay.
I was about to ask.
I don't like going in the water.
Yeah. What about, like, one of those paddle boats? What are the, like, swan...
Those are fun.
...things? Yeah.
Yeah, those are all right.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm not a skinny boat person.
Fair enough.
So,
all right. So you would be on the bike.
I guess
going around.
I don't really like bikes though either.
I love the water. I like going in the water. I think if you're at a lake, you should be in the water. If you're at the ocean, you should be in the ocean. I feel like going to a lake and then just going around it.
There's a prettiness to it.
It's just as pretty from in the water.
But I don't like being in the water.
I like being in the water. I figure if you're going to go to a lake and then not get in the lake, it's like being in a room with a really sexy person of whatever gender you prefer with Barry White music going on and then not having sex. Like, why would you do that to yourself?
Okay.
Maybe I'm just not in the mood. Maybe I have a headache.
I went to a hockey tournament.
You're in your salsa.
I went to a hockey tournament with my daughter's hockey team, and we stayed in a hotel.
Yeah,
and you told this.
We got to the hotel, and none of the adults got in the pool, and so I got pool that blue balls, and I was real angry about it. I hated it. Everything about balls. I never want to speak to them again. But I'm going to have to, because I'm going to see them every year for hockey until my daughter graduates.
Somebody has some feelings about this.
Why do they not want to get in the pool? I don't understand people who don't want to get in the pool. You're wrong, Jenna. You're wrong. Okay. Question number five. Homer away. Moving on. Homer away. It's water. It's beautiful. Anyway, Homer away. Are you more likely to host a cookout?
Okay.
Or attend one at a friend's house?
Host it.
Attend.
I have a Joe. We're hosting. That's end of story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't have a ton of space for a cookout. It's a very small house. It's a very small yard. A lot of it is garden now. I would much rather go to somebody else's. Also, because, like, I enjoy cooking and grilling and that kind of stuff, but making huge amounts of food gives me anxiety. It's just so much.
Yeah.
I would much rather go to somebody else's event.
Yeah, I mean, like, we do the pie party, and I love that. But
and we did holiday heckling,
but
and had like food and cider and that kind of stuff. But it was more of a potluck.
Yeah, no, I'm
not
much more
like a cookout,
likely to go to somebody else's thing.
Now, come on over.
Yep,
I've got a Joe. We've got a grill.
Yep,
great time.
All right.
I still want to go to one of your Gentaculars.
You can also just grill Joe, I guess.
You can grill Joe. What are you doing here?
At Alice's restaurant. Oh, okay.
What are you doing here? How many fingers am I holding up?
None. None?
Are you Joe? Shut up.
Okay, I'm quoting
you're
you
Joe.
On that. Out of context for Joe's benefit.
Faces.
This is happening.
Joe.
Closing thoughts. I understand that neither canoes nor kayaks have keels, but the rhyme was just too good not to use once I thought of it.
No, I did like the rhyme.
No, I did, you get
do
a
they
free,
have holes,
get
not free, keels?
Yes, they have holes.
I know that they have hulls, but I was trying to think, because most ships have a hull.
Yes.
Is the keel like the strong beam arch that holds the hull together?
The center beam is the keel.
Is the keel.
Yes.
Okay. Huh. Oh. All right.
Sometimes they have like a fin or something like that,
yeah.
But not necessarily. But yes,
I guess
that center beam.
I didn't realize that small hulled craft didn't have a keel.
No.
Well,
there's no center strut. Nor ribs.
Anyway, I like to strut.
If you would like to send in a fast five, and please do, just go to aonpodcast.com. That's aonpodcast.com. Click on submit a fast five and fill out the form. You're done. It's that easy. We need some more. Does anybody have anything they want to give a shout out to?
I want to give a shout out to all of the volunteers, yes, including James, that helped out with the Jasmine Dragon over the course of the weekend. I absolutely could not have done it without all of the people that helped. There's no way. And everybody contributed something different and unique that really blended together in a fantastic environment. And we got to make lots of people happy. Yeah. Also, bit of a thank you to all of the people that stopped by.
Hell yeah.
And participated in our glorious new room. And also just the little nice comments and just the looks of appreciation as bleary-eyed people came in in search of sweet, sweet coffee. It filled my little heart with joy. So, shout out to that.
Shout out to Convergence in general. There are so many weird and what feel like pretty unique experiences at Convergence very specifically that make it one of the best cons I've attended. It's a fucking great time, and I loved introducing it to Vinny.
Yeah.
This was Vinny's first year at Convergence, so yeah, it was fun.
I'm going to give my shout out to the Southern Minnesota RC Raceway. It's in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota. It's about 45 minutes south of the cities or so, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not a terrible trip. If you plan it, go to their Facebook page, Southern Minnesota RC Raceway, look up their events and go to one. Like, just have some fun. Just show up.
I'm against fun.
No, it seemed like they seem like a really fun group of people. The guy I was talking to was like, yeah, when this thing first started, we had some super like super competitive, like ultra competitive people, and he's like, those people eventually drifted away, and now it's just a bunch of us getting together and having fun.
Nice.
Like, they're honing their skills and they're trying to do their best, but they're just there to have a good time. And that's excellent. I think it's super, super wholesome and fun, and I love it. So, yeah, do keep doing what you're doing there. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do.
Go for it.
At the end of the month, Vilification Tennis, choose your own adventure. This is going to be the last Vil show for several months. So please do take this opportunity to see it, because otherwise there's just like a desert for that very specifically. And also because I'm real fucking enthused about this theme. I am completely in the dark about what it is that we will be doing aside from the vilifying. But, like, if the D&D show and the Taskmaster show and, you know, these other shows where they have surprised us as part of the format are anything to go by, this is going to be an absolute fucking adventure. This is going to be, like, not... And, yes, you will have chosen it, but it will be completely bonkers. And I'm thrilled. So, yeah.
We are less than a month away now, so I'm officially announcing now. I am directing a Fringe show, the McScottish play, that will be at the Minnesota Fringe Festival. It is a show about a group of people putting on a show of Macbeth. It's very meta. But it is written by Tom S.T. It's very funny. We got some great actors, some funny people. Somebody did the fight choreo who's good at it.
proficient enough.
Proficient, able.
Capable.
Also, somebody who's really, really good at that sort of thing. Jenna did the fight choreography.
I did the fight choreography.
It's so silly
and delightful.
It is. There's five shows during the course of the Fringe Festival. I highly recommend you look at the Minnesota Fringe site and look for it. I'll be posting a show link as well. It's at the Phoenix Theater. You should check it out. I'll be talking about it more later.
The only thing I really have to plug, kind of, aside from what Salsa just plugged, I hear the director's okay. But
he's really not.
He's
He's super not okay. Fucking idea what he's doing. Poor actors
with this production team. Just like, I suppose they're fine. But the actors are phenomenal. They're a delight, the ones that I've gotten to interact with. But no, I will say, because it is weirdly time sensitive, we're doing a show at the end of the year. It's, I cannot remember the name of it right now.
Is it the Hallmark?
It is.
I'll Be Home for Kalis?
Thank you. I'll Be Home for Kalis, a very Hallmark, the Hallmark parody of the season. We changed the name like 5 times. It's one of the reasons why I'm having problems.
Right, yes.
The Hallmark parody of the season. And the one thing that I will point out is that if you did attend Convergence, you may have seen a seasonal Klingon on the back of your massive program. That Klingon is a QR code. And if you scan it, you can get tickets on the cheap ahead of time.
What?
So, yeah. Look at your little souvenir program.
Mm-hmm.
Flip it around in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Stare at that awesome, awesome Santa Klingon.
It's pretty good.
And scan that code to get some super cheap tickets to the show this upcoming holiday season.
All right. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye, bye. Love you. Bye, bye, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who's been listening to this show. Thank you to Stefan, if that's who it really was, for sending in the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh.